It's a real busy month, along with the next month and the next month, a real busy time, a real busy season. And I think it's only right that we be in spirit with these great events and everything. They're going to cost a lot of finances, and I don't think it would make very much sense to have all these great outreaches taking place, amen, spending all this money just to simply be in the flesh through these events that are up and coming, amen. It's a real powerful time. It's the time the weather's good and everything, and that we get ready just to roll up our sleeves and sweat a little bit, amen, and get excited, amen, about the Lord, amen, what he wants to do. As we go to our word here this evening, I'm still speaking out of the book of Exodus, dealing with Moses. Many messages have gone by where I just read a little bit and I get another message. Read a little bit, I get another message. And we know that the theme for this year is the time is now. And the title of the message this night is the time is now to stay in position. Not just to be in position, but to stay in position. It's one thing to be in position. It's another thing to stay in position. As we go to the book of Exodus, chapter 14, I'm going to kind of pick up where I left off Sunday. And I need everybody really to follow along, really to take notes, because if you don't, you're going to start fizzing out, fading out. The guys at party says, man, I got faded. You're going to start fading out and all that stuff. And you're going to hear me talking, but nothing's going to fall on good ground. Nothing is going to be remembered. And you've wasted a couple of hours coming to church. It's something, a good work of the enemy to allow us to come to church for a few hours, and it's just to be dead time. You need to do your part in listening intently here this night if you're going to get something out of the message. I studied, I put it together, and I just need you to really listen here this night. And if there's something that's really bugging you, get it behind you, amen? Let it bug you once you walk out the doors. And if you put it behind you right now, when you walk out the doors, it may not be bugging you no more. I think too many times the AC, the temperature is almost like perfect in here. You can just start fading out. You start fading out. Exodus chapter 14, verse 8. This is where they're headed out of Egypt and they've come up to the Red Sea. Amen. And the Bible reads in verse 8. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. Father, we thank you. We love you. I ask that you just put me to the side, Lord. Holy Spirit, that you would speak this evening, that we would listen, that we would allow it to fall on good ground so it could reap a harvest of 30, 60, 100 fold, Lord. That we could be productive men of God, women of God, youth of God here this night. In your precious name we pray and we all say, amen. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. You got to hear what this verse is saying. He let them go. He says, okay, take your people, Moses. Get out of here. Amen. The Bible records that the Israelites, and even though they had been set free, at this point, the Bible says that they were marching out boldly out of bondage. They've been set free. They had left with all the finances of Egypt, the gold and silver. And they were walking boldly and wealthy out of bondage. And the Bible says that they were marching boldly. But nevertheless, the Bible also says that the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. I put here, just because you may be marching boldly this night, set free, having finances, don't mean that Egypt is not in hot pursuit after you. Here, God had moved in a mighty, powerful way through the 10 plagues, and they were marching and moving. That's another song, amen? They were saying, we're bad. They were all moving towards the promised land, and they were marching boldly. They were no longer in bondage, but had been set free by the mighty hand of God. But nevertheless, the Lord still had a work to do in them, even though they had been set free. Tell your neighbor, the Lord, even though you've been set free, the Lord still has a deeper work that he wants to do in and through your life. Too many times we give our lives to the Lord. He sets us free. He removes us from addiction. We're doing good. Does not mean that Egypt is in hot pursuit after you here this night. How many know that Jesus is with us? It's just a sense right now, so much easier while we're in church that we can say, Jesus is with me right now. Whether things are going great, it's a little bit easier to say, Jesus is with me tonight. And if things ain't going all that good in your life right now, in the presence of the temple of God, you can still come to the same conclusion. Jesus is with me. You can sense that he's with us right now. We're in the presence of the Lord. Along with that thought, you also need to know that even though Satan is defeated, I put here, he's also with us. Jesus is with us. He's a conquering man. He overcame the world through the precious blood. But even though Satan is defeated, how many can sense during the day that Satan is in pursuit of your life? Yes, we sense the presence of the Lord. We sense the presence of the Lord. We know the Lord is with us. But on that same thought, we can say that lying devil is pursuing, man. He's after me. And sometimes we just act like there's just Jesus and no devil. Sometimes through our actions, we act like there's no consequences. We act as if, because the Bible says the devil's defeated, that he can't do us no harm. How many know that's a lie? You give him room to work with, and he's going to hit that gap. In verse 10, let's read verse 10. It says, Pharaoh approached the Israelites, looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. You see, the Israelites weren't the only ones marching. They were marching in victory. Here, the Egyptians were out. The Bible says they were also marching. They were defeated, but yet they were still marching and in pursuit of the Israelites. Little thoughts I got here. The Bible says even though Pharaoh, the first day of their animals, of their sons, of all their money, all everybody was gone, set free, all the 10 plagues had destroyed all of Egypt, they were still marching. They were still in pursuit of the Israelites. Here this evening, even though the truth is that we are in the victory, that we are in victory, the truth is that the enemy is still marching and in pursuit of our very lives, of our very calling of God upon our lives. The Bible says that the Egyptians were also marching. I put even here that they were, even though they were defeated. I put here, it's funny that even though the Egyptians were defeated, they were still marching as if they could have the victory, like they had the victory. They were still marching. They were still under orders of the Pharaoh, as if they had the victory. I put here, this was me coming to Jesus. I believe as they were marching, still being obedient to the Pharaoh, I put here that, I believe that they had nothing to lose and all to gain. They had been stripped of everything, and yet they were marching after the Israelites as if they had nothing to lose and all to gain. When I came to Jesus, I came with nothing. It was okay for me to step out in faith because I knew I had nothing to lose and all to gain. When I came to the Lord, I knew that my life needed help. I knew I didn't know nothing dealing with life, nothing dealing with God. But I was willing to march. I was willing to march for the enemy, even though I had been defeated all those years. There was times that I would march for the enemy thinking I was in control, thinking that I was getting over, thinking I was still this and that and then some. I was marching for the enemy. I put here, I believe that many Christians, even though they have the victory, they operate as if they have everything to lose and nothing to gain. I've seen some of the looks on people's faces, and it looks like you have everything to lose and nothing to gain. And we start playing this real safe way of being a Christian, playing it real safe. No commitment, no nothing, no nothing, only once in a while. Start playing a real safe commitment, a real safe loyalty. But when we're running and marching with the devil, we were marching like we had the victory. Even though we were lost and bound and in darkness, we were marching like we were about something. Right, Chava? We thought we were this and that. We were deceived of the enemy. And even though we were losing everything, we kept on marching like we had the victory, even though we were so defeated. Here the Israelites, the Bible says, that they were marching, 14:8 says, boldly. They had been set free, they had finances. And they were on their way to the promised land. But God, the word says that God hardened the heart of the Pharaoh once again. And now the Egyptians were in pursuit of the Israelites. The Israelites had reached the place there in the desert at the Red Sea where they had come to a stop. It was the desert and the Red Sea there. They had come to a stop. And before you know it, they were there, they were in victory, they were marching boldly, things were going good, and all of a sudden they heard a noise, they looked up, and there were the Egyptians all over again. Sometimes we look up and there's the enemy there all over again. Is it again? He's in pursuit of every one of us here this night. He ain't got nothing to lose and all to gain. It's the work of the enemy. The Bible says in verse 10, it was as the Egyptians, the Pharaohs, once again had caught up with the Israelites. The Bible says as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. The Bible goes on to read that they were terrified.
From being bold, now they were terrified and cried out to the Lord. I have a question here. How many of you have ever been terrified in Jesus? Terrified in victory, been terrified before? I know I have. I know I have. Even though the many years of salvation that I have, there's times where things, you know, get a grip of me, where fear tries to come in. And tries to stop me in fulfilling what God has called me to do. And I know I'm not the only one. I know I'm not the only one here this night. There's two areas that I hear, simple message tonight. Two areas that allow us to fear. One is the enemy. Even though he's defeated at times with the way he had us in our past, when he catches up with us at times, we fear because the enemy is in pursuit of us. We can sense that the enemy is always in pursuit of us and that the enemy is always trying to bring condemnation and fear in our walk in relationship with the Lord. How many know that the enemy at times has a way of bringing fear into your life? Where he's breathing down your neck. You look up, everything was going good, and all of a sudden, you're in fear. You're terrified. Even though we have the victory, and the enemy has been defeated over 2,000 years ago. The second area that can allow us to fear is answering the call of God. Answering the call of God. I believe there was no such thing as the word fear. Just about everybody would answer the call of God when they were supposed to. But fear has a way of seizing people, paralyzing people. And I can see the fear of the enemy paralyzing, trying to stop somebody. But the calling of God? Do you really think that God wants to allow us to operate in fear when he calls to us? Oh, God's calling me. He's calling me to serve. No, he doesn't. No, that's us. Another area that brings fear is when you know you're a marked man, a marked woman, a marked youth that God has separated, that God has spoken to, and that God has called to answer the call. All of a sudden, you weren't in fear of nothing. Then all of a sudden, you're in fear. All of a sudden, you don't know what to do. You don't want to mess up. You want to look good. You want to get more committed, but then you're going to have to sacrifice this. You want to get more loyal, but then you're going to have to, man, maybe break away from family for a little bit. And all this fear kicks in from answering the call of God. In verse 13 and 14, the Bible reads, Moses answers the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." I shared a little bit on Sunday on these parts, but the Lord just kept giving me new stuff as I was backing up a little bit to put in the next study. The Egyptians you see today, you'll never see again. This is Moses speaking. This is Moses no longer that fearful man. No longer not knowing who he was, no longer not knowing. He's gone through the 10 plagues now. He's a leader now. He's at a point now in his life that he knows God is able to do all things. And here Moses starts speaking to the people. Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you'll never see again. Here, Moses was giving them something really that would have to call for them to believe. They would never see again the Egyptians that had overpowered them and had controlled them for 300-400 years, that they were never going to be seen again. Just when they thought they got rid of the Egyptians in Egypt, now they look up and there they are again. And here now Moses was speaking to his people, telling them, do not be afraid. Moses personally knew what it felt to be afraid within his life of answering the call of God, of trusting in God. Moses knew what it was to be fearful, not in control, not knowing who God was. And the Bible says that he would tell them, the Egyptians you see today, you'll never see again. Those were big words of faith there. Here's where all these mighty men of war and their chariots and everything coming with weapons. And he was telling them, the Egyptians you see today, you'll never see again. I shared last Sunday, is there something still before you, something that's still bringing fear upon your life? I want to let you know, if you continue to believe in the Lord, whatever is still making it stand against you, bringing fear to your life, I want to let you know that soon and very soon, as we continue to trust in God, that you will see whatever person or thing or whatever it may be no longer. You will see it no longer. In other words, you will not have to fear it no longer. But here Moses would have to tell the people, do not be afraid. Yes, in the natural, we're whooped. He would tell them, don't be afraid. Stand firm like we were just marching a while ago, bully. Get back in that mold. Get back. Get back in that mold that you were in. Get back. Do not be afraid. The Egyptians you see today, you're not going to see them no more. I shared within my life that I never, as dumb as this sounds, thought I would ever get rid of smoking cigarettes. One, it was legal. I could do it on parole, high-risk parole. So you were just not going to take my cigarettes. Right, Rick? There was a time that in our alley of the rehab, there was cats moving in from all the city. Because Rick would go down the alley to feed them, to look for cigarette butts and to look for somebody walking by to bum a smoke off of. The cats are all mad. They know Rick don't smoke no more. And they've gone down the street to some other corner. Before, Rick would always come with gum, candy, and all that stuff, perfume, and all that stuff next to me. Did I say perfume? Yeah, I did. Because he wasn't being a man of God. I know that in my life, 20 years, I can say I haven't touched a cigarette. It's my testimony. The woman thing, that I didn't even pray over that. There was just no way that was going to come to an end. 20 years, I can say I've been with one woman. The drinking and the smoking pot, that was another promise that I made to the Lord. Coming out of prison, that I would never give up marijuana. Even though it was illegal, it was legal in parole to be, you know, have THC in your system. They were just checking for coke and heroin in my system when I would get tested. I haven't seen it in 20 years. Things that I never thought were ever even possible, so impossible that I would not even pray about it. It was just not going to happen. That's where I started at. And some of you are in some of those areas right now. I want to let you know that whatever's before you right now, if you continue to come to church, you continue to trust in the Lord, and you continue to build a relationship with the Lord, there'll come a day where no more. Well, that whatever is before you is going to bring fear and allow you to be terrified about your life, about serving the Lord. It's in these times of trouble that we need something to believe in. And if we're going to believe, we need to believe in Jesus. The Bible in verse 14 of chapter 14, Moses goes on to say, the Lord will fight for you. Moses knew that they were going to be able to fight against the Egyptians. He knew that the Lord had another miracle up his sleeve. He knew that he was going to have to take the mighty hand of God once again to have the victory between the Egyptians and the Red Sea. Moses knew that God, through his mighty hand, was going to have to come through again. He was not trying to encourage the Israelites to say, get ready, we're going to duke it out, we're going to fight, and we're going to be victorious today. Verse 14 says, Moses knew the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Between the Red Sea and the desert, nowhere to go, trapped. And there's a lot of times we find ourselves in that position, trapped in fear, questioning things, doubting things. I put here, there's some battles that only the Lord can fight for you. There's some battles that only the Lord can fight for you. There was only, I put here, one thing the Israelites could do in their power here. In the predicament they were in order for them to live, there was only one thing they could do between the Red Sea and the army of Egypt. And that would be to surrender to Egypt. To surrender to the Pharaoh. And there's sometimes we find ourselves between the desert and the Red Sea. We find ourselves in a place, instead of trusting in God, we take it into our ability and we surrender once again to Egypt. Just thoughts that the Lord gave me. It's easier to surrender to Egypt than it is to trust in God. There was only one thing they could have done to stay alive there, in their ability. And that would be to surrender to Egypt. To surrender to the lie of the enemy. The truth was, there was more of them than there was of the enemy, but there was a mentality problem taking place. On this one, Moses would know that it was going to have to take the Lord. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. When we're in a jam, the hardest thing to do is to be still. Okay, man, I'm going to go do this, and then when she comes and he says this, I'm going to say this, and I tell you, this is the last time that's going to happen. It's hard to be still. Sometimes in our time of need, I put here, one of the hardest things to do is to believe that the Lord is fighting for you. Can you imagine? To question if God is fighting for us. I've been there before. Where I'll straight up verbally say, man, are you with me? What's up, man? This ain't right. Sometimes in our time of need, one of the hardest things to do is to believe that the Lord is fighting for you. And here Moses would tell the people in verse 14, we got this one. Sometimes you only need to be still. To do nothing but believe. Nothing but believe. Nothing but believe. There's sometimes I do nothing but believe. There was, when I came to this city, I just got a thought when it was always Charlie doing everything. It was a Charlie thing. I was operating an ability that I'd learned in Salinas, California. And it was the first year I was here, about a year and a half, and me and my pastor were at the Christian bookstore. And there was a beautiful painting. I said, wow, that's heavy, Pastor. And it showed a guy. I shared it before. It shows a guy like this in the fire. It's just in flames all around him. He's like this. And Pastor said, what does that mean to you? I said, that dude's in the fire, man. That guy said, he's in the fire. He's in the presence of God. He's in the fire. He got problems. And Pastor said, look again. Man, and I'm checking it out, trying to get all spiritual and trying to stay up with my pastor. And I would say something else that physically, by looking at the picture, would show. He says, it's his hands. Okay, his hands. And his hands were like this. He says, he's telling the Lord, I'm gonna stay out of this one. I'm going to stay out of this one in the fire, and I'm going to let you fight my battle. And I was like, ooh, man. I was a young Christian. I was just hearing my wife. I went, ooh, Pastor, that's heavy. I don't know where I was. I think I was with Dante the other day, and we seen that painting. I said, hey, what do you see there, Dante? Dude in the fire. I said, look a little closer. There's more. I said, you see what it really means, Dante? You know, you can't see it. It's right before you. It's in the hands. And he would give me all these answers. I says, he's in the fire. He's pulling his hands back and saying, God, my hand ain't going to be in this, so I'm going to let you do it. I said, whoa. But I had to come clean. I said, my pastor gave me that one years ago. I couldn't take the credit for it. But I'm able to see paintings. I'm able to see you guys now. And I get revelation like that all the time now. All the time. I get that revelation all the time now. Be able to see what was really in that artist right there that was painting that picture. And it could have represented, meant a lot of things. But man, he was kneeling down and he crossed his hands saying, Lord, this is the fight that you got to fight. I can't do this one. I'm not going to get in the way no more, especially of this one. Sometimes you only need to be still. Do nothing but believe. And sometimes we feel to get results, we got to do a lot of stuff. Here Moses was telling the people, don't be afraid, stand firm, and just watch. Believe. Just stand firm. Just stand right there, and you're going to watch the great deliverance of the Lord today. In verse 19 and 20, if you don't think the Lord's here for you, amen. Then the angel of God, remember, they're right there between the Red Sea and the desert. They're in a rock and a hard place. And if nothing was to happen, they would surely be defeated. Verse 19 says, the angel of God who had been traveling in front of Israel's army. See, God was always leading by the pillar, a fire pillar, a cloud. He was always leading. God is always wanting to lead our lives. He's always wanting to lead us. It says, then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. Amen. So the angel of the Lord, were the Israelites, amen. They're coming. We're all marching this way. We're stuck. And the angel of the Lord's before, and he was leading. They came to the Red Sea. And then the Bible says that the angel of the Lord stopped. He turned around and he went to the back. All the 2.7 million people. He went to the back, and now he's standing between the Israelites and the Egyptians. That he withdrew his place from the front, withdrew his place from leading, and the Bible says that he withdrew and he went. Withdrew and went behind them. The Bible goes on to say that the pillar of cloud also moved from the front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to one side and light to the other. Can you imagine that cloud? It's showing down, throwing down two rays, one darkness and the other one light. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to one side and light to the other side. So neither went near the other all night long. The angel of God who had been traveling in front of Israel's army withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them. And I put along with us, as God leads, there's battle that he expects us to fight as he's leading. As God leads us, there's battles that he expects us to fight. That's why the Bible says to fight the good fight. There's some battle that the Lord expects us to put them up. You talk to the rehab, amen, they'll tell you, sometime you got to put them up. That's another Bible study, man, amen. There's sometime you got to fight. How's that? Where is something to fight? To party. That's the real some men that were snoozing off right there, amen? As God leads, there are battles that he expects us, as he's before us, as the pillar of cloud is before us, and it's leading all we are doing. As God expects us to fight, to stay up with his lead, he expects us to fight. There's going to be a fight in following the lead of the Lord. As God leads, there's battles that he expects us to fight. But then there's some where he stops and says, this is my fight. This is my fight. This is my fight. And we always say that we serve a God that is progressive, that is always going forward. But on this case, he was leading, and all of a sudden he turned around and went behind instead of being in the front, along with the pillar of cloud, to back up his people, to come between. All of a sudden, God would say, no, these are my people. Now what you going to do? There's some fights that the Lord expects us to fight. And there's some fights that belong to Jesus. We need to know that the Lord's all right sometimes, and turning around to get between you and the enemy, to get between you and whatever is bringing fear into your life. We all have them. Whether they're spiritual, physical, we all have them. And we need to know that we have a God that is willing to stop the lead, to get between whatever is taking place that's bringing you fear here this night. The Bible says in another scripture that the Lord is our rear guard. He not only leads, but he's our protector. He's our rear guard, scripture tells us. I believe when Moses saw that and the cloud, now that was always in the front leading the whole time. Now he's sitting there. Moses says, watch it, watch it, watch it. How do the people on Facebook, wait for it, wait for it, wait for it. Moses knew it was coming. God had always been leading, but now he was in the back between him and the enemy. The key is that we need to stay in position. We need to stay in faith. God is not only able to lead, but he's able also to fight fights that belong to him. There are simply some fights that we are not called to fight. And I believe within your life right now, each and everyone's got to fight right now going on that it's not meant for us to fight. Do you know that you got a God fight in your life? And he's just saying to be still. To be still. The Lord's okay with going to the back to protect you and to bring on the miracle. And too many sometimes we can't see the Lord leading. It's because he's gone to your rear guard. He's not before you, but he's behind you, between you and whatever it is that's bringing fear to your life. That's good stuff right there. It's not mine. It's of the Lord. Where are you, Lord? And we would never think that he would be behind us. But there's times he is, because it's his fight. It's his fight. The key is that we need to stay in position. He told him in verse 14, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Sometimes being still is the hardest thing to do under circumstances. And we got to ask ourselves this night, is God able or is he not able? Do I have a fight right now that I've been trying to fight that I know is a God fight? This belongs to the Lord in my life. Those are the big ones. It's one thing to fight your fight. It's another thing to trust and believe that the Lord's going to fight your fight. And he's going to handle business for your life. It's in the Bible. Verse 26 to 31 reads, the Bible reads, then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites. Another word for followed, that were in pursuit of the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, and a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the great power the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him. That's what he was trying to get them to, a place of trust. And in Moses, his servant, also. Amen. In verse 30, the Bible says that the Israelites got to see the Egyptians lying dead, every last one of them. The words that Moses had spoke that would take faith to believe had now come to pass. The Israelites saw the Egyptians lying dead as they just stood, and as they were still and believed, they were able to see the Egyptians all lying dead, the Bible says in verse 30. And verse 13 is where Moses had told them. It was something kind of too great for them to believe. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see. He told them, you will see with your very eyes, you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. And the Bible says the Egyptians saw, that the Israelites saw all the Egyptians dead on the seashore. What looked impossible had now come to pass. Verse 31 reads and concluded, says that the Israelites saw the great power the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. Amen. Somebody just turned the AC off. Where's Miguel? Come on, Miguel. The messages I'm preaching right now are just not so much for you to learn, but for me to practice also. I know that the Lord is with us. But we also need to know that there's an enemy. And even though he's defeated, he's in pursuit of us right now. And he's real. The Bible says that he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Amen? We need to know that the Lord has called us to fight, people. There's some fights that belong to us and not the Lord. He ain't going to fight all the fights for us. There's a scripture that says that when they were going through the wilderness, the desert, that the Lord carried them. But when they came to the promised land, he put them down. He says, now you got to do it for yourself. The Lord will carry us for so long. Just like a parent will carry that baby for so long until they start saying, you're too heavy, walk. You're a big boy. Didn't you say you were a big boy? Walk. Don't be surprised when you find yourself having to fight the good fight. Don't be surprised when the hit of the enemy is so great that you just got to be still and stand firm and allow the Lord to fight your battle. Sometimes we try to fight the battle that belongs to the Lord. And that's why we're frustrated. There's just some things I fought and I was duking it out in the spirit, duking it. And then I said, this belongs to you, God. I'm done with that. I'm so done with that. This one's yours. It's not mine. I'm going to stop spending an hour of prayer on that. It is yours. I got other things to pray about. The enemy's trying to get me focused on this one air praying too long for this one area. Amen. When there's other areas to be covering. Lord, I've come to find out this fight belongs to you. I surrender it to you in faith. I surrender this fight to you in faith. I really surrender, Lord. I really surrender and I let it go to you, Lord. I'm not going to get in the way, Lord. No more, Lord. I don't care what people say. I don't care what they do. As long as me and you know what time it is, that's all I need to know. So I stand firm. Sometimes standing firm means just getting out of the way. I believe as the angel of the Lord was leading in the front, I believe as he went to the rear, he started getting people out of his way to get in position. Sometimes you got to get people out of your way in order to get in position. I'm giving you 20 years of experience right now. Or you can still try to fight that fight that don't belong to you. Have at it. The Lord's able to hit at night. He's able to hit at the day. The Bible says that one shone in darkness and the other one was light. And that nobody moved all night. I believe they were just like tripping on the light and the dark, saying, what the heck is about to happen? Moses knew. God's setting it up right now. You need to know that the Lord is with you this night. It takes faith. It takes sometimes just being still. It takes faith. It's what the Lord is asking for this night. The Lord is saying, I got you. Do you not believe that I got you? He's got you this night. I need you. You need me. The Lord's got us. He just didn't do it for Moses. He did it for all of Israel. All of them crossed over. Not one fell dead in the midst of it or in the process. He did it for all of Israel. He wants to do it for all of us. He wants to give this victory to all of us. He wants all of us to believe together. He wants all of us to come together. He did it for all of us. He died on the cross for all of us, not just for a few to make it, but for all of us to make it. And he defeated all the enemy in that Red Sea. The Bible says that every last one of them were killed. Through the cross, the Lord defeated the enemy and every evil spirit imaginable that lives on this planet. God conquered all, took care of all sin, our past, present, and future sin. God's done it all. And sometimes we act through our lack of faith as if he's not able. And the enemy's marching. And the enemy's marching. And as we look at the enemy marching, we look at the enemy as a threat, even though the enemy is defeated. Whatever we're facing has already been defeated at the cross. So sometimes we just got to stand firm in the face of the enemy. I believe as you grow with the Lord, you'll learn which fight belongs to you and which ones belong to the Lord. I used to fight every fight. Just to make sure I did my part. I was throwing down every fight I would throw down. Everyone. Even the ones that belong to God. I was just slinging them. I was throwing on every fight. My discernment wasn't now. Ooh, I don't fight them that quick no more. And it almost looks like I'm not doing nothing about the situation. You're right. I'm allowing the Lord to do it. You're right. Too many times I want to perform for people. No mas, no more. You either know me or you don't know me. Period. It's just some fights that belong to the Lord. This one came on that day because Moses spoke it like that. But some, even though the Lord's doing the fighting for us, take months, take years, whatever it is, it's going to come to an end. It's going to come to an end. We need to know this night that the Lord loves us, that he loves us, that he's got us. Even when we're doubting, he's, oh, come on, my daughter, come on, my son, again, come on, we've already been through this. As we stand this night. Right there where you're standing. These messages are important. They're real important. Real important. What is it? What's that one thing? Don't think of number two, three, four, five, and all that. What's that one thing? Because we all have one. We all have one. I don't care if you're on the mountaintop, we all have one. What's that one thing that's bringing you fear, that terrifies you? If it don't change the consequences that it's going to bring, what is that one thing? What is it? Right now, by faith, I got mine. I got it right now. I got it. We're gonna give it to the Lord. I don't want you to bring it to the altar. We're gonna just surrender. We're gonna. Lord, here it is. Here it is. And you're just going to cross your arms and say, here it is, Lord. This ain't my fight. Through this night's message, I've come to find this is not my fight. I've been fighting a fight that does not belong to me. I've been fighting a fight that nobody can fight for me. I've been fighting a fight that only you can fight to bring the victory. What is it? In your mind, I want you to see you give that thing, that person, whatever it may be, that obstacle, whatever it may be. Could even be an idol. What is it? Whatever it is, I just want you to give it to, by faith, give it to the Lord right now. Whatever it is. As you're giving it to the Lord right now, he's going to the rear right now. He's coming around the backside now. He says, I've been waiting for you to give it to me. He's going around to the backside right now, and he's right. Right now, he's coming between you and whatever it is that's bringing this fear to you. And he's defeating it right now, whatever it is. He just wants you to believe right now. Whatever it is, just give it to the Lord right now. Because the truth is, we all love the Lord and we all want to make it. And we all want to do good. We all want to serve. We all want to get committed. We all want to be loyal. That's what's in our heart. But these fears come from the pursuit of Egypt. Our past. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus. That day, the words of Moses to the people came to pass. You can say, well, Pastor, they didn't have a choice in the matter. Yes, they did. They could have surrendered to Egypt. We could remain this night in lack of faith and eventually surrender to that fear. Or we can stand firm and allow the Lord to fight this battle that belongs to Him. Oh, in the name of Jesus. We thank you this night for your word, Lord. Oh, we thank you for your word here this night, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you would take the lead to get our back. Oh, in the name of Jesus. I pray that you give my spiritual son, daughters, that victory that they need, Lord, Father God. In your presence, in your temple here this night, Lord. That you would give them that victory, Lord, Father God. That you would bring a greater faith, a greater discernment to my spiritual daughters, my spiritual sons here this night that belong to you, Lord. So they would fear and they would trust you. And even trust me, their shepherd, as I lead them, Lord, as they trusted Moses. Even in the hard times. Oh, in the name of Jesus. The truth is, we have the victory. Sometimes it's found in us, and sometimes it can only be found in you, Lord. Have your way this night, Lord. Have your way here this night, Lord. Allow your word to come to pass this night, Lord. So we can get back to marching boldly. So we can get back to marching forward and allowing you to once get in the lead to get us to that promised land, to get us to that place of calling that you have called for us. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I know it is you that has spoken this night, Lord. So I pray that we act out in faith here this night so that you may once again take lead. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. God bless each and every one of y'all. God bless each and every one of y'all.